the many consequences of getting older is that we, notice the inclusive plural pronoun, we, you know how I know I'm getting older as I do this. Only old people do this. Amen. And then I not only have to shave my face, but I have to shave the tops of my ears. And the inside, and you know, we better not even go there. Amen. Many consequences of growing older is that we are prone to fits of absent-mindedness. And if you're forgetting what I'm saying right now, that means we don't remember things sometimes. Amen. We forget things. How many of us have walked into a room to get something and that very room that we were headed for and then forgot why we were going there? How about that? Amen. Well, by the way, and you think about that in your life, I think about that just being in my 40s, and that happens to me, and I think of myself as somebody who God has blessed with a pretty good memory, amen. But it happens to us, doesn't it? I've done this so many times, oh my goodness, I'll say to Miss Kim, I'll be right back as soon as I remember why I was coming in here, amen. And while this thought is certainly amusing, there are many people who struggle through no fault of their own with memory loss, dementia. Many of you have had a loved one that has succumbed to this disease. And I've said for a long time, it's one of the cruelest of all diseases because it robs them from us while they're still walking about in their bodies. They don't remember us. It's a very cruel consequence of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. Some, even in our church, have had to deal with this. I think of Mr. Stevens as he just went on to glory. Miss Stevens struggling with that. I think of Brother Herb and Maxine struggled with that. Others struggle with this Alzheimer's. Back in 1 Samuel, I told you we'd go back there, amen. The book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 1 we have Samuel's birth. And you remember, mothers, how Hannah prayed. And we're gonna kind of camp in chapter 8, amen. But you remember just kind of backgrounding out how Hannah had prayed that God would give her a child. And God did answer that prayer in His time. And then in chapter 2, you remember that Hannah vowed a vow and she said, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to the Lord. And there Samuel spent his childhood with Eli the priest and with Eli's wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Chapter 3, we have Samuel's call. You remember that the Lord called Samuel in chapter 3, and he said, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Thank God that Samuel was God called. I still believe, ladies and gentlemen, that God calls preachers. I still believe that God calls men to service. I still believe, I remember when I was home and when I was young and our first apartment my wife and I had just gotten married, amen, and our first apartment was in Munson, Massachusetts. My wife was out at school and I was folding laundry. Can I get a witness, ladies? God hasn't called me to fold laundry, but I do it anyway. Amen. At least I did then. Amen. Now I fold piles. Amen. Hallelujah with all those kids. And Brother Al, I remember listening that night to a message called Fill Thine Horn with Oil and Go by a preacher named Tom Malone. And Brother Mike, God called me to preach that night. Amen. Just as sure as I'm standing here drawing His air, He called me to preach that night. I thank God for God called men. I really do. And by the way, He uses different things too. He'll use circumstances, He'll use counsel, but He calls. And here, He called Samuel into service in chapter 3. Then, if you go down, and boy, I'd love to background chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7, but really, chapter 8 kind of gets at where we're going. And remember what happened in chapter 8, that They came to Samuel, the elders came to Samuel, and they say, look, you're old and your sons don't serve the Lord. What a sad statement that must have been, Brother Downing. You know why? Number one, because Samuel's sons didn't serve the Lord. But number two is that he grew up in Eli's home. You know, I've had people come into my life and God, by the way, young people, God will teach you lessons both in the negative and the positive. You look at somebody and say, you know what? I'd like to have a marriage like Hugh and Donna Howland that lasts. Amen. That's a blessing. But you know what? God may bring somebody in your life and say, you know what? I'm going to be careful that I don't do that. That's positive and negative learning, both. And I would think that Samuel, as a young man, looked at how wicked Hophni and Phinehas was and said, you know, if God ever gives me kids, I'm going to do my best to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not like these two wicked companions that I have. And what happened? At the end, poor Samuel served the Lord, prophet, mighty, but they said, your sons don't serve. And so give us a king. And there's an amazing statement in here, and boy, I'd love to preach more about it, but look at verse 5. It says, and he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us. And look at these last four words. Like all the nations. They said, you know what? We want to be just like everybody else. What an amazing statement. You know, Israel to this day is not just like everyone else. That little strip of land and those blessed people, and I say blessed because God says they're blessed. The children of Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, Genesis chapter 12 tells us. They're not like any other nation. And back then they weren't either. They were God's chosen people. And they were blessed of God in ways that no other nation was. But they said, you know what? We're tired of this. We want to be just like everybody else. Look at verse 6. It says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Always a good thing, by the way, when your flesh gets displeased, is to take it to God. Take it to God. Amen. Then you see verse 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, in that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Jump down to verse number 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out to battle before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. You know what we find here, those of you that know your Bibles? We find here a case of what we would call God's permissive will. See, God's perfect will was that He would reign over Israel. Amen? But He let them have their way, didn't He? God help us when God lets us have our way. His way is much better. Matter of fact, the Bible says His way is perfect. But He lets them have their way. And we see there's a protest there and talking about Samuel. And they basically just say to Samuel, we want a king. We want to be just like other nations. We've said it. Israel wasn't like any other nation. They were chosen by God. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8 says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people for Himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of people. But because the Lord loved you, and because you would keep the oath which He has sworn to your fathers." They were chosen by God. They were loved by God. They were blessed by God, we mentioned. Why would they ask for a king? Why on earth would they want a human king of flesh and blood to reign over them when they had God Himself? I'll tell you why. They forgot God. They forgot God. We say it this way, Brother Don, they were stricken with spiritual Alzheimer's. They forgot God. They forgot what God did for them. They forgot how good God had been to them. Let me give you some points today. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them unto thy sons and unto thy sons' sons." And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, not much has changed. As it was then, so it is now. There are children of God all around us who want to be just like the world. They want to have it their own way. They want to have their own king. And it's because they forgot how good God has been to them. They forgot. I'll tell you the first thing, Brother Horsch, I think they forgot was they forgot God's power. They forgot God's power. Exodus 32:11 says, "And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand?" You remember the story of the people of Israel. And of course, we remember that things were good in the days of Joseph. Amen. And but then there arose a new king which knew not Joseph, and he made the Israelites' lives hard with rigorous bondage. Amen. And you remember, so the Bible says they were there for 430 years, 30 good years under Joseph, and then 400 cruel years. But then God, through His power, delivered them by 10 plagues. Exodus chapter 7 through 12. The plague where they turned the waters into blood. The plague of the frogs. The plague of the lice. And the plague of the flies. And the cattle and the boils and the hail and the locusts and the darkness and the death of the firstborn in Egypt. Interesting that each one of those was worshipped by Egypt. God took on their gods and showed who was God. They had forgotten God's power. They'd forgotten that it was God that delivered them. They'd forgotten that it was God who brought them through the wilderness. They'd forgotten that it was God who brought them through the Red Sea and that drowned Pharaoh's. They forgot. It's amazing how quickly they got spiritual Alzheimer's and forget God's power. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we're no different. Sometimes we forget God's power. You know, your breath right now, your lungs, your heart, your kidneys, your liver, they're all functioning by the power of God. Amen. See, He's above all things, and by Him all things consist. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 tells us. We forget that if God wanted to, He could wipe us out anytime He wanted to. We forget about His delivering power from sin in our lives. We forget about when we got saved. We forget about how powerful God really is. We forget about God when it comes to answers to prayer. We think, well, that's too big. Only if God got smaller. Amen? Only if God got smaller. They forgot God's power. And they said, we want a king over us. We want a king. And what else they forgot? They forgot God's protection. They forgot God's protection. Remember the story, I just referenced it, when they were at the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is on one side, and the Egyptian army's on the other side. And how many of you remember that old Ten Commandments movie, amen, with old Yul Brynner as the Pharaoh? And you know what he says about God? He says, your God is, Moses' God is a poor general. Why? Because he got himself in a place where no army would go, right next to a sea, and the army charging right down on him. But God's not a poor general. He just knows how to protect His people. Amen. And you remember what happened? The cloud of fire came down and the Egyptians, and by the way, that would have been about the time to turn around. When the cloud of fire dropped, you're getting ready to attack and the cloud of fire drops, it's time to turn around and go back to Egypt, but they didn't do that. And you remember, it says, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them and came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness unto them, but it gave light to night by these, so that one came not near the other. And then you remember when God told Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea. What happened? And the waters parted. Exodus 14. And then he got back on the other side, and every Israelite passed by on dry ground. Amen. Probably had to clean the sand out of their shoes. It was so dry, Brother Jeff. Amen. And they got on the other side, and God says, stretch out your hand again. And the waters that were walls of water came down upon the Egyptians. See, they had forgotten God's protection. Young people, when you want to go off and do your own thing, never forget that the holy God of heaven has you under His protection. But you can remove yourself from that protection. Huh? You can. See, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is the ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You get out from that umbrella of God's protection. That's exactly what happened here. They said, we want a king just like everybody else. Wouldn't you rather have the protection of God? They forgot God's protection. They forgot God's power. They forgot God's provision, Uncle Joe. You know, it was God in the wilderness that provided manna. The bread from heaven. I've heard preachers say angel food cake. Amen? Exodus 16:15 says, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given thee to eat. He not only provided them with manna in the wilderness, but water. Exodus 17:6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock at Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water of it that people may drink. Hey, I've been thirsty before, Brother Horse. I've been out hiking, doing things. I've never seen water come out of a rock. I've seen it flow over rocks. Amen. Just walk up to a rock and cool, clear water coming out. That's the provision of God. It's the provision of God. So He provided food. He provided water. You know what else? He provided clothing for them in their 40 years in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 29:5 says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. How'd you like to get 40 years out of a pair of shoes, Brother Abe? Hallelujah, amen. I want those shoes, amen. 40 years out of a suit? Now, some wearing suits that are 40 years old. I don't know about that, amen. They forgot. God's provision. You know, it's hard to forget God's provision when you're laying in the sick bed. That's when you remember it. Come on, church. But when we when we grow and things are going well, we forget God, don't we? It's easy. I'm saying we because I'm in there right there with you. We forget how good God is. We forget how God provides for our every need just when we need it.
Amen.
They forgot. They had spiritual Alzheimer's. They forgot God's power. They forgot God's protection. They forgot God's provision. You know what else they forgot? God's prosperity. Deuteronomy 6:10-12 says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." You see that job you have, sir, ma'am? Can I tell you this? God gave you the skills to get that job. God gave you the skills to keep that job. God gave you the thinking ability. And it is amazing. Every time I think about things like this, I was on planes this week, went out to California and came back. Thank the Lord I came back. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of the seats I had, I flew with Southwest because bags fly free. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you just walk in, you take any seat you want. And so there was a window seat right by the wing. And I sat down in that seat and I looked. And I'm leaning forward. I'm like a little kid. Everybody else has got their noise-canceling headphones on. You got people doing this. And I'm just sitting there like this. I'm just looking. And Brother Mike, we went over the Sierra Nevadas. Unbelievable. Just snow caps and then brown high peaks. Just amazing. And it's, to me, it's an absolutely amazing thing that there are people in this world that would think that the human mind, and I'm looking at the plane, and I know a little bit about turbine engines from my days in aerospace. I'm looking at the plane, I'm thinking all the things that are going right now in this plane. Because you can't pull over at 30,000 feet, amen? Now we need to change that out, amen? Swap that out. All the things that are going right, and I think about all the literally probably millions of people that designed that airplane. And those same people want us to believe that this came about by accident. No chance. Literally, no chance. If you do the mathematical formula, no chance. There's no chance. You have a better chance by getting struck by lightning 10 times than that actually happened. And I was just thinking about that. And God, in His power, He's the one, ladies and gentlemen, that allows us to be prosperous. He's the one that made Israel prosperous. And they forgot it. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. I know you seniors that you've worked your day, and I know sometimes that there's not enough month at the end of the money, but remember, it was God that allowed you to work that job all those years. God that allowed you to be prosperous. They forgot God's power. They forgot God's protection. They forgot God's provision. They forgot God's prosperity. You know what else they forgot? If you go back to our text in 2 Peter chapter 1. When people get spiritual Alzheimer's, you know what one of the main things they forget is? They forget God's pardon. I've met people, Brother Ewald, will be at the door and talking to them and say, do you know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven? And they say, well, I don't know. And I'll take them down the Romans Road, folks, amen, which is what you're supposed to do. Tell them about what it is to be a sinner. Tell them about how there's a wage for sin. Tell them about how Jesus loved them and died for them on the cross. And I get to the end and say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Brother Mike, they say, I did that. And I'm always careful at that point. Sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't. But I've learned this. Sometimes, Brother Howland, they really did a long time ago and meant it. And what happened? Look at verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 1. It's an amazing verse. It says, "But he that lacketh these things," we'll talk about these things in just a little bit, "is blind and cannot see afar off and hath" what? "Forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." You say, what did they forget? They literally, because of sin, because of a lack of growth, forgot that they were even a child of God. It's the height of spiritual Alzheimer's. We'd call it maybe stage 5 of spiritual Alzheimer's. See, I didn't say that they weren't a child of God. Why? Because Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish if they remember it." No. No, God remembers it. See, there are people with really have Alzheimer's. Amen? And you know what? They got saved a long time ago and they can't remember it anymore, Miss Judy. God took care of that. He wrote it in the book of life. Yeah. Amen? Thank God for that. Amen? But this is a case where these people literally forget that they were children of God. God's pardon. Maybe today you're suffering from a form of spiritual Alzheimer's. See, many Christians are suffering from it and they don't even know it. They live their lives to the best of their abilities, but their best of their abilities are contrary to the clear commands of Scripture. And they think it's okay. And I want to just tell you, if that's you, you may be suffering from spiritual Alzheimer's. They don't want to have a preacher reprove them. They'd rather have their ears tickled. There's a quote-unquote church in Houston this morning that's going to have 25,000 people in it. You're not going to hear much about repentance there. You're not going to hear much about this is the authority right here. It's more concerned, some people today, more concerned with watching a football game than being in the house of God. Some haven't won a soul to Jesus Christ in years that they could tell you the last 5 starting quarterbacks from their college football team. Ladies and gentlemen, if this describes you in any way, you may have spiritual Alzheimer's. You may have forgotten God. But is it spiritual Alzheimer's? Is it curable or avoidable? Yes, yes, and yes. He gives us all the tools for the victory. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "According to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 expand on that. It says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." You know, we need to do our part too. See, Christian character, building our character, is first of all a devout resolution. See, it was through the Word of God that we exercise faith in Christ that we were born again. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it was because in some form the Word of God was given unto you, the Spirit of God illuminated it to you, and you trusted Christ. See, for some people it's a gospel tract. I remember a fellow years ago, he said to me, "Brother Harmon," he said, "I was watching Billy Graham in 1976. And he gave an invitation, I got saved." Other people, it's a personal witness. Some people, it's a John and Romans that we pass out or a gospel tract that sits and seemingly dormant all those years. I remember a man who came to our church in Holyoke, Massachusetts. We had blitzed the whole city, kind of like we're trying to do here. And a man came like 2 years later. He's the only man that came. He said, "That gospel tract, that piece of paper from the church, it sat on my dresser for 2 years. Finally, my life got so bad, I walked over there and looked at it and said, I need to go to that place." And him and his whole family got saved. Amen. But Salvation and character are two very different things. The worst of the worst can be saved. How do you know? The thief on the cross got saved. And he was in heaven that day. Why? Because Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And Jesus said that, he meant it. But he didn't get to do anything for God. See, character, Christian character is a devout resolution. It says there in verse 4 of our text, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that ye might be by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." See, you know what we need to do if we're going to keep ourselves from spiritual Alzheimer's? We're going to have to resolve to read, to memorize, to meditate upon, to study God's holy word. Amen. Both personally and corporately. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, it's up to each one of us to break out our fork every day and dig into the meal of the Word of God. Now, I'll do my dead level best to try to prepare 3 good big meals for you every week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Brother Jeff, I know you do your best to bake that bread on Saturday night to distribute out on Sunday morning in Sunday school. And we've got several Sunday school teachers in here. Yeah, I know you do that, but that cannot be the only food you live on all week long. You got to get in this book yourself. Say, "I don't understand it." Join the club. Amen. Join the club. It's all things we don't understand. Get a good devotional. Young people, I mentioned the glow in the darks last week. If you're here and you say, "You know, I'm not on a Bible schedule," that's why we put a schedule in the bulletin each week, amen, to help you to be on a Bible schedule. Get you a good devotional. Read. It takes a devout resolution to say, "You know what, I'm going to read the Word of God every week." It also takes divine cultivation. See, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 16 through 18 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." And then what are we cultivating? The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Farmers will tell you farming does not come naturally. You got to get out the stones in the garden. You got to till up the soil. You got to look out for weeds. You got to plant, you got to water. It takes work. You know, in our lives, things that come naturally are sinful. Come on. Listen, think about that child. I've got a little 2-year-old. God bless her. God bless her. Don't do that, Katia. I turn my back. She does it. Huh? You parents, don't look at me with your little angelic children. The only thing keeping those halos up is the horns, amen, okay? Just stop it, amen? See, if you're going to do spiritual things, we have to cultivate that. We have to work at that. You know, in a church, it's easy to have division. You have to work at love. It's and you take that whole list, love, joy, peace. It's easy to be a grouch. It's hard to be joyful sometimes. It takes divine cultivation. The Spirit of God helping us to cultivate this fruit in our lives. But then it takes diligent addition too. If you look at our text in verses 5 through 6, and I'll just go through these quick. I'd really like to hit them, but we need to move along here. It says, "Beside this, giving all diligence..." That's an important phrase there. Giving all diligence. We need to apply that which God has given us and diligently add to our faith. And it takes spiritual discipline. Brother Howland told me a couple of years ago, he said, "I believe the most important part of life is discipline. Discipline. being disciplined here to add to your faith. And it gives us a list. Virtue. That's the first thing. Virtue. Christians ought to be virtuous. Virtue is moral excellence. Now, we live in a very unvirtuous age. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Enoch walked with God. Amen? It's always been that way. When John Wesley started preaching, you could get drunk for 2 cents in England, and he stood up on his daddy's grave and was a shining light unto a dark world. Virtue. It's time for a revival of morality amongst the people of God. Now, I do get a little weary of us trying to moralize lost people and make them moral members of hell. Huh? You see, when I'm around a lost person and they cuss, Brother Herb, that's what I expect. Because they're lost. And we can keep them from cussing, but if we don't give them the gospel, all we do is make them fit for hell. How about moral excellence out of the people of God? I mean, just saying that some things are right and some things are not right. Amen? And watching what we watch and where we go and what we recommend to other people. Amen? Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And then to virtue, knowledge. Practical knowledge, or we would call it discernment. It's the direct result of obedience to God. John 7:17 says, if any man will do His will, he shall know the doctrine of what I speak. Oh, I've got to hurry here. Temperance. Temperance is self-control. Self-control. Philippians 4:5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Patience. Patience is enduring difficult circumstances. Patience is the supplement of temperance. Temperance is handling the pleasures of life, while patience has to do with handling the pressures of life. Let me say that again. Temperance is handling the pleasures of life, while patience has to do with handling the pressures of life. Godliness. Godliness. What is godliness? Godlikeness. You know what? The person, the Christian who cultivates godliness, you know what he's saying? God is my top priority. God is my top priority. Right where He ought to be. By the way, the word godliness means to worship well. Brotherly kindness. Hey, we know that word. Philadelphia. Philadelphia. That's the Greek word. What does it mean? Brotherly kindness. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Those of us that are saved. Those of us that are Christians. Charity. Charity. Agape love. John 3:16, I think, sums up agape love. Doesn't it? What's it say? For God so loved the world. That's that agape love. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love's the key. If you love God, you'll love whom He loves. And it's pretty tough to forget God when you love His children. See, they forgot God's power. They forgot God's protection. They forgot God's provision. They forgot God's prosperity. They forgot God's pardon. Is spiritual Alzheimer's curable? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It takes a devout resolution. It takes divine cultivation. It takes diligent addition. What do we need to add to our faith? Virtue. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Maybe the Lord's put His finger on an area of your life. Maybe you say, you know what? I have forgotten God in some areas. Let me ask you this. Do you spend time in His Word? If you spend time in His Word, it's pretty hard to forget about Him. Amen? That's probably why He told us so often about His Word and the importance of His Word. Maybe it's that divine cultivation. You know, you say, Pastor, maybe I've been just cultivating some things that are not helping my spiritual life. And I need to start cultivating that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Maybe I need to add to my faith. You know, I think most people that get to that verse 9 and forget that they're even saved is because at some point they stopped growing. Maybe they saw somebody else grow like a rocket and they weren't satisfied with their own growth. Hey, listen, we ought to just be taking steps each day. So I think of our seniors. Some of you used to run. Now you can barely walk. Amen? But you know what I tell you? Keep walking with God. Keep walking. Or as someone told me, the key to life is keep breathing. I think that's good advice. Amen? Keep breathing. Just keep walking toward God. I've told this story before. I'll end with this. My pastor, I love him. I tell you what, I was kidding with him, and I said, I'm loyal to a fault sometimes. And those of you that have gotten close to me, you know that's true. I'm loyal to a fault. I'll defend somebody. And I joke with Pastor. I said, you know what? I said, if tomorrow at your church you hung a rainbow flag outside your church and you got up to preach in a tutu, a pink tutu, and somebody asked me, what do you think of Pastor Tharp? I'd say, I think he was preaching the day I got saved. That's what I'd tell him. Because I'm loyal. And just, you know, granted, I'd probably, you know, go bury him in the backyard and tell God he died of the chicken pox. Amen. But that's another matter. I remember when he, him and his wife lost their son at 18 years old. And any parent that's never experienced that, you can't. You can't imagine. You can't imagine your life without your child. You just can't. And I remember watching him struggle. He kept preaching. And I told him this. I said, some of the best messages you ever preached were during that time. He said, well, it was a total fog. He said, I don't know what was happening. And I remember one time he told me, Brother Downing, he said to me, this is a strange thing, we talked about it while we were out there. He said, now think of a pastor saying this to a church member. He said, I read my Bible and I get nothing. Think of a pastor saying that. And I was glad God gave me just a stroke of wisdom. I said, keep reading. Keep reading. Because you know, no matter how dark it is, if you see a light and you walk towards the light, it's going to get a little bigger. And it's going to get a little brighter. And it's going to get a little brighter. But if you stop walking, it just stays the same size. See, some of us get spiritual Alzheimer's because we stopped growing. And you know what we need to do? We need that devout resolution. We need that divine cultivation. But you know what else we need? We need that diligent addition to say, every day, I'm going to try to grow my faith. I'm going to walk with God every day. Father,